Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. I hope you're well. Wanted to go over a story from CNBC talking about how Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, is now calling for hyperinflation right here in the United States. Let's dive right into this article. Twitter and Square CEO Jack Dorsey says hyperinflation will happen soon in the United States and around the world. The Twitter co-founder and crypto advocate Jack Dorsey weighed in Friday on escalating inflation in the United States, saying things are going to get considerably worse. It will happen in the U.S. soon, and so the world, he tweeted. And this is him talking at the Bitcoin conference. I was there. I did not listen to him speak. I didn't really have any desire to listen to Jack Dorsey speak because one of the things I wanted to go over in this video is how many people actually understand how dollars are created. And I believe I went over this last night on my live stream, but I would argue that the probability is high. Jack Dorsey, even though he owns a bank or whatever you want to call Square, he doesn't really understand how dollars are created. And therefore, how could he really understand the demand side of the equation when you're talking about the prices of goods and services going up to a degree which would constitute the definition of hyperinflation, which, if my memory serves me right, at the very minimum is 50%, the prices of goods and services going up by 50% per year, might even be per month. I haven't looked at that in quite some time. But there is kind of a textbook definition of hyperinflation. But when he's referring to it, I'm assuming he's talking about Zimbabwe, Venezuela, or maybe kind of an Argentina type of situation with the best case scenario. But again, I think you should take this with a grain of salt because although he may be a crypto advocate, it doesn't necessarily mean that he understands the euro dollar system. It doesn't necessarily mean that he even understands that the banking system itself was responsible for creating 97% of the dollars that actually circulate in the real economy prior to the Cervasa sickness. And we'll call it 2019. Or I don't know that he even realizes that the Fed's balance sheet doesn't necessarily equate to dollars that are circulating in the real economy. Those are dollars, or those are bank reserves that are denominated in dollars. That just gives the commercial banking system more balance sheet capacity. But if you're dealing with a commercial banking system that was not constrained in the first place, then giving them excess balance sheet capacity doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have an increase in, let's say, M2 money supply. So the reason I think the probability is low that Jack understands that, it's not a disparaging comment towards him. It's just stating that in reality, there might be 10 people on FinTwit, and this includes all of the quote-unquote experts and PhD economists and bankers themselves that truly understand the global dollar monetary system. And I would guess that Jack isn't included in that group of 10. I mean, let's just put it this way. Pretend for a moment that Jack Dorsey had a conversation with Jeff Snyder. Do you think that Jack would be able to follow that conversation? I don't think so. If Jack can't follow Jeff Snyder, I don't think he is educated to the point where or I don't think he knows enough to have an educated opinion. And it's not to say that he isn't intelligent or anything. I just doubt he's taken the time to do a deep dive required to truly understand the global dollar monetary system. But just FYI, he says hyperinflation is going to change everything, and it's coming. And he's talking about a hyperinflation, not just of the dollar, but of all fiat currencies globally. And article points out this tweet comes with consumer price inflation running near 30-year highs in the United States, growing concern This could be a problem. We all know the argument going to Jerome Powell saying that this is, and actually Yellen just came out and said the same thing, that this is most likely transitory. One thing there that I'd like to point out, the exact same thing that Arthur Burns said in the early 1970s, who was the Fed chair back then. He kept claiming that inflation was transitory. It's transitory. It's transitory. And at a certain point, which for him was around 1974, 75, he had to admit that, okay, I was wrong. So it'll be interesting to see if Jerome Powell falls into that same category, if he's even the Fed chair coming up here in a few months. I think it could be Brainard. We'll have to see. But if it is Jerome Powell, then what's going to be his epiphany moment, if you will, where he has to come out and actually say, okay, it's been transitory for 3 years. And since it's been transitory for 3 years, even if it starts tailing off, it still wasn't transitory, right? It can't be transitory forever. Or I guess maybe according to the spinsters and the central planners here, maybe it can be. But at a certain point, I think he's going to have that Arthur Burns moment if 2022, 23 look like 2021. It's one thing to call for faster inflation, but it may be surprising to some that Dorsey used the word hyperinflation, a condition of rapidly rising prices that can ruin currencies and bring down whole economies.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
I also wanted to point out that Paul Tudor Jones has, in this article with CNBC, said that not only he said that cryptos and Bitcoin may be a good inflation hedge, but also they asked him if he had ever seen this type of monetary policy in his entire career. And he said, not even close. And he went on to say that this monetary policy that we have right now is absolutely insane. And he's never seen this bad of monetary policy. And so obviously he was a legend going back to the mid 1980s. So I think that says a lot, especially when you see what happened during the GFC with Bernanke, with Greenspan, with Yellen, and he's comparing what we see or what has been done by the Fed in 2020, 2021, and contrasting that to other extreme times, such as the GFC, and saying that now this is far worse. And here he says, clearly there's a place for crypto. Clearly it's winning the race against gold at the moment. I don't think so. And first of all, I want to say that let's not just lump every one of these coins into the same bucket here. I think you've got to differentiate Bitcoin. And I don't even think that's the same as Ethereum. Those are two completely separate topics, different probabilities there, different drivers of price, demand, and whatnot. But I don't think you can lump Bitcoin in with Shiba Inu, let's say. And when you're saying that crypto is an inflation hedge, is Shiba Inu or Dogecoin that really an inflation hedge? I don't think so. And for me personally, I don't even think Bitcoin we can say is a good inflation hedge. Now, I think everyone should own it, and I think it may be a good long-term speculation, but I think people should own it from a standpoint of freedom and liberty, even before, even if the price doesn't go up. I think it's wise to, even the price could go in half, and I still think you should own it, just because it gives you that optionality. If at some point in time you find yourself being kicked out of the banking system, I think it's a good part of a plan B. But I don't know that it's an inflation hedge. I think to say that it's one and the same with gold, I've never understood that argument, because gold to me is just an insurance policy. And people say, well, Bitcoin's gone up more. Well, that doesn't really mean anything to me. There are a lot of things that have gone up even more than Bitcoin, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those things are a good inflation hedge. I think you've got to compartmentalize and understand the rationale for owning certain assets in your portfolio. And the rationale is not unanimous. It's not that you just own everything because you think the price is going to go up. You, in my opinion, you just own gold because it's an insurance policy, and a good one that has a 5,000-year history. Like, that means a lot. Does it go up or down? Who cares? It's just that insurance policy. And then for me, it's 80% stuff that pays you own it. But that speculative side of the portfolio, I think there's definitely there a place for Bitcoin. And then outside of the portfolio, I think there's a place for Bitcoin as an integral part of a plan B. That would also include some physical gold. I think watches would fall into that category as well. But the main points I wanted to make with this article, there are a lot of people that are prominent, that have a lot of influence, that are now not only talking about inflation, but talking about hyperinflation. And there's others like Paul Tudor Jones that have been an OG for a long, long time. And they are saying that the monetary policy that they see is the worst and maybe the most insane monetary policy they have ever seen in their entire investment career. So we know that regardless of what happens over the next year or two, when you see this type of central planning from the government and the central banks, it never ends well. Okay, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure you always stand up, fight for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you on the next video.